The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So this time, it's not my fault because someone scheduled the 6 a.m. flight, right?
The driver's gone.
Somebody call the cops. We need to find that driver.
They could have killed someone.
Whose car is this?
Yeah, come on. Whoever did this, just confess. We promise we won't be mad.
Do you think you're leaving any mystery as to who that person is?
I have no idea who he's talking about.
Well, close our eyes. Just take your car and get out of here.
Sir, that's clearly your car.
I have your wife's number. I would have called your wife. Said.
The person who booked the flight at 6 a.m.
I didn't say that.
Whoa,
you
whoa,
put
this is together. This is like, shocking news.
Wait,
Angie's the one who booked this flight?
Oh my God, what happened here?
Yeah, we're all trying to find the guy who did this and give him a spanking.
It's obviously this guy, right?
Yes.
I have a name.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looked like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it.
Good morning. Made it in just the nick of time. Walked in, open was playing. Should I tell those things, Gabe, or should I keep those to myself?
I mean, I would keep them to myself. But you know. It's a long tradition here on ESPN Milwaukee of hosts walking in as opens are playing.
Oh, I was going to say, of people saying things they shouldn't say?
No. Walking in again. Craig and Chewy used to do that all the time. Like, I got to the point.
Ho, retract half of that,
all right,
please.
Listen, Santa.
Yeah.
I only produced your and Craig's show for about 6 months when I first moved to Milwaukee back in 2013. And the number of times, like, it got to the point where I was comfortable starting the open, even though there were zero hosts in the studio.
The only reason I might have been late is because the company would not give me keys, and I had to wait because you wouldn't answer the buzzer to come let me in, and so I had to wait for Craig with the keys to open the door.
The company, that kind of tracks, because Chewy is notoriously early for almost all things.
Yes.
It does track, Gabe, that he might have had to wait for Craig at the door because would you give Chewy keys?
I mean, he was probably calling the wrong person since he thought my name was Zach.
That's fair. That is fair. Speaking of keys, Jen, how we doing?
Yeah, guess where they were, Chew. Guess where they were.
So you need to apologize to the AirTag.
Yes. Dear AirTag, I'm sorry. I was wrong. The keys were actually in my bag, just as you said they were. I told the guys this morning, I don't have the keys on me. The AirTag keeps saying that the keys are here, but I don't have them on me. The AirTag is wrong. And Gabe was like, I don't know.
Technology's usually pretty good.
Take the technology over your brain any day. So, Chew, what'd you do last night?
It's my daughter's birthday, so she wanted to go to Hibachi, which I haven't been to Hibachi in 5-7 years. So I was excited because I dominate the shrimp toss. I just dominate.
I thought you were going to say, I dominate Hibachi.
Well, I dominated Hibachi last night.
Yeah, I figured.
And then dominated the toilet.
You knew that was coming.
So I was excited for, you know, the shrimp toss, right? The pingy throws it off of the spatula,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
So there was no shrimp toss.
What?
I'm like, what's going on here? When did that stop?
Wait a minute. Hold on. Did they get rid of all of the things? Did they do did they do the volcano?
Yes, they did that.
Did they do the egg toss into the chef's hat?
Yes, they did that.
Did they do the squirt the sake into your mouth from the little guy?
No. Nope.
See,
they didn't do that.
Audience participation probably had to go away. I'm sure there was a lawsuit. Sure there was a lawsuit, Chew. Either the shrimp was too hot, they burned their mouth, or the throw was too good, went right down the gullet, and somebody ended up choking.
Oh, like Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
He's choking! He's choking!
When did the world become no fun? The world, there used to be a lot more fun when I was a kid. You know, there's so many rules now, and what do they call them? You know, like on cigarettes and things like that.
Warnings? Surgeon General warnings?
Do you really need that? Do you really need to be told that cigarettes are bad for
you? I am pro that. I am pro the warning on cigarettes saying that these are bad, these are cancer sticks. I am pro that.
You know when I think it happened? This is when it happened. This is when it happened. It just came to me. It all changed when someone sued McDonald's because their coffee was too hot.
Yeah, the 90s. Uh-huh.
Am I right?
Yeah, you're correct. Seinfeld did the spoof on it. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, now it's the no fun world.
I can't argue.
NFW.
I am shocked, though, that Hibachi, long known for, as you stated, cleaning you out, and the activities. Like, that's a part of Hibachi. When you go to Hibachi, you expect to have those little pieces of entertainment. The little onion stack that they make a volcano. Right, he taps it. Oh, do they still do the heart? You know where they take the rice and they make it into a heart and he puts the spatula underneath?
No.
Now, see, that's not a participation element.
Yeah, maybe that's just not in that specific chef's repertoire.
And then remember everyone for a birthday, because I wanted to embarrass my daughter, they just sang happy birthday at the table. Didn't they used to bring out all the workers and like 40-year-old virgin? Remember that? Remember when they used to celebrate and bang on the...
When's the last time you went to Hibachi is my question.
5 years ago.
Okay.
5 to 7.
See, yeah, that's... I'm thinking we're starting to get... Because 5 years ago would put us in COVID. 5 years ago is 2020.
That's been 5 years already?
Yeah, 5 years is 20. Yeah, that's 20.
2025.
You know what?
It's 2020. You don't even have to carry a one.
Then it might be closer to 10 years. Because I thought COVID was like 2 years ago. No fun.
Can we power rank those things that I just mentioned? The accoutrement, if you will, of Hibachi. Take the food out of it, which, by the way, love the whole like ginger dressing on the salad, love the miso soup, love all of those things. But like the little volcano, the squirting the sake, the throwing the shrimp, the tossing the eggs, and it sounds like Gabe is putting the heart, boom. Boom, boom, at the bottom of the power rankings.
Well,
that one?
Well, no, I'm sure it's fine. I'm just saying that maybe this particular chef, that wasn't a part of his, you know. Not everybody throws a curveball,
but the
you know?
Cool
like, sometimes
volcano,
it's fastball cutter.
With the volcano, we put one of those laser lights on it so it turned green. So that's kind of a new twist. It was actually pretty cool.
But he still used fire, right?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know if the laser was in place of the fire. I was like, would be ridiculous.
How do these guys practice some of these things?
I don't know. He's really good, though.
Because, I mean, you can't imagine that you're always using food. Because you don't want to, like, use the food and then just have to throw it away because there's nobody there to serve the food.
But it's got
to
be food adjacent. It's got to be food comparable, you know, for weight and all of the other things.
I don't know. I'm curious about the Hibachi guy. Like, how are you practicing these skills?
So, Chewy, what is number one on the power rankings for the things that go along with Hibachi?
Including the shrimp.
That you didn't get, yes. And
well, shrimp toss is number one.
He's only saying shrimp toss is number one because he didn't get it last night.
Yeah.
That's 100% the only reason why it's number one.
In fact, had it happened, it might not have lived up to your expectations. You might not have thought it was the number one thing.
Unless it hit somebody in the eye.
Like,
if somebody went for it and
it,
like, hit it in the eye, then Chewy would also keep it at number one.
Because if I didn't catch it in the mouth, I'd be like, ah, quarterback sucks. It's awful. I'm playing with Zach Wilson here.
Go back to that old playbook, huh?
Give me Aaron Rodgers in his heyday. The second best was the egg toss, and then he landed it right on the spatula.
Ooh, I forgot about that one.
Turn to crack it. That was really good.
I forgot about that trick.
Yeah.
Cracking the egg on the spatula. That's a good one.
I think that might be number one. Like, the skill involved there is pretty high.
Timing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
That might be number one.
The volcano with the light. The light was a very good add-on.
Wait, so where did the light come from?
He had a laser light, and he held it above the fire, and everything turned green.
Amazon.
Yeah.
You're really wondering where it came from. It was
Amazon. He didn't do the heart with the rice.
Okay, but I do like the volcano. The onion stack volcano.
Yeah, I feel the volcano is underappreciated because it might be the simplest, but it's always fun.
If they got rid of the onion stack volcano, I think there would be outrage. I think people would be very angry, just like Chewy is very angry about the shrimp toss.
Yeah.
I think less people like the shrimp toss because they're not athletic, right? You get embarrassed, you get nervous, like, oh, you're on a date. You don't want to all of a sudden reveal that you can't catch a shrimp in your mouth.
Wait, let me ask you guys this.
I mean,
I'm not.
You're taking dates to hibachi?
Some people are.
This was new to me as well. They served, you get rice, right? They served noodles, and they served red skin potatoes, which I've never had a hibachi before.
Red skin potatoes?
Yes.
I've never had potatoes at hibachi either.
How about noodles?
Yeah, of course noodles.
I mean, that makes sense. That tracks.
I've never had noodles. It's usually just the rice.
You can order noodles. It's like
yeah, but
most
it was part of the part of the deal. Yeah, so that was...
All right, so now we got the top three. You said the heart, meh. I think you guys are putting heart last. It sounds like nobody else is into the heart.
Yeah, I mean, it's
The egg toss to the hat is legit.
I'm talking about the sake shoot, okay? Where they take the little guy and it shoots it out of its, you know...
No, and I've never even heard of that.
They squeeze it and it shoots sake into your mouth. I'm the only one that gets the sake shooter.
Yeah, I've never seen this.
Never seen it.
Will,
also,
have you ever gotten the sake shooter?
Will's like 14 years old. He can't have sake.
Oh, yeah, he's got to leave to go to the ninth grade math class.
I wish that you would have seen Will's face. He's just so dejected by the...
I don't even know what sake is, to be completely honest.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, there we go.
Sake to me. No, Chewy likes sake. Don't you, Chew? I feel like you're a sake fan.
Yeah, I do. But you know what the nice thing about last night, and they should do this everywhere, is you can bring your own wine in, and they just have a corking fee.
Huh. So you'd prefer your wine to the sake, then?
He prefers his wine at all times.
Now, here's the problem, because we're leaving here, and, you know, for birthdays and stuff, I usually get a couple really good bottles of wine. My one son, Dyson, always gets me a real, and it sits here. It's been sitting here for 3 years, and I don't have a controlled environment for it. So I'm like, Ange, we got to drink this stuff, or it's going to skunk. So we bought two nice bottles of wine. The corking fee, I think, was $10, and it was great. Every place should do that.
It sounds like we're in mostly agreement on the power rankings, yes?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
I mean, I obviously think that the sake shooter should be higher, but it sounds like I'm the only one that's experienced the sake shooter.
I'm not surprised that that didn't catch on, because shooting alcohol into people's mouths
sounds like my entire college experience, Gabe.
I'm just saying, liability-wise, not maybe
the
best.
There was a period of time where I was standing on bars on Water Street pouring alcohol into people's mouths, right?
The liability...
Yeah, but Jen, let me ask you this. Do you have to dress accordingly when you go to hibachi? Back in the day, like, because if they toss you a shrimp and it lands on your shirt, you all of a sudden, that shirt's wrecked. It's got a grease stain on it.
I just want you to know, thank God that's the direction you were going. I was very concerned about, do you have to dress the part when you go to hibachi?
Chewy's just showing up in a basketball jersey and shorts. Hey, got to be athletic. Got to be ready to catch this.
Yeah.
I mean, you can tuck a little napkin in the neck, right?
Got the wristbands on.
Do the little napkin tuck to make sure that if you miss, and God forbid you miss, right? I think Chewy, you're making such an excellent point. So much of your reputation at hibachi is based on whether or not you can catch the shrimp. And to Gabe's point, I think people probably were like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't like how this is making me feel. It's making me feel inadequate. And they were like, let's get rid of it. Get rid of the shrimp toss. So RIP shrimp toss. Yeah. Ryan from Iguanago weighing in on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. They're not called Redskin potatoes anymore. Now they're Commander potatoes.
That tickled Big Cat.
It's a good little pop. It's a good little pop from Ryan. We're all warmed up. We are all stretched out here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Let's get to Jason Wilde. He's coming up next right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.
Transform the way you do business with Fifth Third Bank's commercial payments solutions. Our market expertise and managed services streamline your entire payment process, seamlessly integrating with your existing systems to give you unparalleled control. Discover new revenue sources, save time, reduce operating costs, and boost your bottom line with our customized payment solutions. Fifth Third Bank National Association. Custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are back after this on 94.5 ESPN.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Got some weird stuff happening in the YouTube section, gang. Got some weird stuff happening in the YouTube comments. Jason Wilde joins us three times a week. He is here with us now. Good morning, Jason. How you doing today?
Is Barry Sorrell in the YouTube comments for your show now, too?
Not yet.
Yeah. Got Pumping up number 99.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy listeners on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy listeners crime going on in there. Chewy went to Hibachi last night, and they did not do the shrimp toss. This feels like a major crime, particularly for Chu, who likes to show off his athletic prowess every chance he gets. When's the last time you went to Hibachi, Jason?
Ooh, long time, long time ago. I mean, the girls were probably pretty little. We do a lot of sushi. We don't do a lot of Hibachi. So I'm sorry, Chewy. You know, any opportunity for you to be the coolest guy in the room, I know you don't want to miss that.
Well, it's just I think I have the biggest mouth. That's why I dominated the shrimp toss. Well,
I don't disagree with that.
Literally and figuratively. We can't tell this guy nothing.
No. Well, it's not that you can. It's just I can't remember whether you said, hey, you can't tell people this or tell people this. And I usually...
Oh, I have the same problem, and I don't have CTE to blame for it.
Yeah. I mean, Jason, off the record, this doesn't apply to me. I'm sorry.
It used to.
But now everything's on the record.
Yeah. Jason, how real is Romeo Doubs to the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yeah, it's a great question. I've not talked to Romeo. The piece that makes me... Well, let me back up. First of all, I don't think it's completely – the concept itself is ridiculous, right? Because, first of all, and again, I don't know this because we have not had any access to veteran players since the offseason program started. So the closest we have is the Athletic's Matt Schneidman going through all 154 photos that were taken by team photographer Evan Siegel from the first day of workouts. And as you know, not everyone comes for the first day, but maybe they come a week later. Maybe their wife was having a baby or whatever it might be, right? So I am always leery of that. Now, I have created a small stir in the Packers Twitterverse by positing that Elgton Jenkins may not be the happiest camper in America. And I feel pretty strongly, because I would hope people understand that I don't just throw stuff against the wall, that they're not like animosity level, but there's some, you know, hey, I'll let you take care of your guy here kind of a vibe there, okay? But Romeo Doubs was also not seen in those photos. Now, that could have changed. But when you start to put together all the pieces, the staying home from work the week they were playing in Los Angeles, his hometown, because he was unhappy with his role, the two concussions, the being too sick to play in the finale, and then, and this part isn't Romeo's fault, they play Christian Watson and he blows out his ACL in a game that, had Romeo Doubs not been sick, Watson would have been inactive, which I still think is one of the stories that we have not done a great job of pointing that out. Because that, I don't know, Christian Watson's a better guy than me because I'd be pissed. Put all that together. Think about the fact that we're no longer talking about, well, which of the guys from that 2022 class are they going to extend first, Zach Tom or Romeo Doubs? We're not talking about that. I have not heard anyone say, well, they should really extend Romeo Doubs. Put that all together, and I'm like, okay, I can see trading him now, doing it with a conditional pick that can go pretty high if he has like a 1,000-yard season for the Steelers. All that makes sense to me. Even the idea of moving on from a wide receiver that now you have drafted two guys and you'll be without two guys because you'll have traded Romeo and because Christian Watson will be on the shelf till November, that all makes sense. You know what the part is that doesn't make sense? That Aaron Rodgers really likes him?
Yeah.
What evidence
that was,
do we have of that?
Yeah, I know.
Saw that and was like, huh, that's an interesting take.
Yeah. So, and I saw it from Albert Breer, and I saw it from The Pony Express, Andrew Filipino, something like that, out in Pittsburgh. Look, I'm not, unlike some people, I am not here to poo-poo people's reporting. I can see this being a possibility. I don't know if it's a likelihood or not, but I'm very curious to see what Romeo's career arc is, because I go back to a conversation I had 6 weeks ago with somebody who works in the building who basically said, look, this guy can make himself a ton of money if he just puts his head down and works his tail off. And I said, would he make that money from the Packers? And it was the shrug emoji. So, I think he is entering his last year with the Packers. I don't think with the concussions and with his behavior, even though they may have forgiven him, I don't think they've forgotten that scenario. And I think teams are reluctant to invest high dollar amounts, long-term deals in guys that they're not quite sure about when it comes to that sort of stuff. So that's why I can see this as logical and reasonable and possible. I just don't, the Rodgers component doesn't make sense to me.
Jason, what's Romeo's reputation with his teammates? Because I know we've had the discussion of, man, if you're the coaching staff, if you're in the front office, might be tough to trust him based on the action of skipping work the way he did last year. But almost to a man, everybody seemed to have his back. Was that because they knew they needed the support or because it was more genuine when he finally returned to the Packers last year?
Yeah, Gabe, I think it's both, right? Like, I think, and this is going to sound hokey, but I do think that they've got some pretty good dudes in that locker room. Like, I think they're supportive of their teammates. Like, they're all the things that we preach in youth sports, and in the pros, they're actually doing that to a certain degree because, in part, these guys aren't that far removed from playing youth sports, right? Because they're so young. At the same time, like, I would also say, and again, my interactions with him, he's a different guy. Like, he's just different. There aren't many guys that I can think of that are like him during the 30 years of covering this team. So, you know, I think that, do I think that he's going out on the town with Wicks and Reed? Do I think that guys have as close of relationships with him as those two, you know, obviously had when they rented that Vrbo last offseason? And I'm guessing they did it again this year to work out together in Florida. I don't think so, but I noticed in one of those videos of them working out in some random park that Romeo was there with them. So, you can be good teammates with someone. You can be friends with someone, even if your personalities aren't similar. So I don't think there's issues with them in terms of teammates to Romeo and vice versa. I think they probably accept him as being a little bit of a different dude, and things function okay. Again, I don't think anybody's as a player saying, "Boy, we got to get rid of this guy." But at the same time, like, I'm not sure how. I don't know how close his relationships are with his guy.
Jason, I want you to listen to some sound from Peter Schrager yesterday on the Pat McAfee Show. Take a listen to this.
I had a lovely dinner with Matt LaFleur during draft week in Green Bay, and I brought it up, and I don't think he'd mind me saying this, saying, like, we're actually in a good place with Jair. You know, obviously there was some stuff last year and the coin toss situation a couple of years back, and all that
awesome.
Stuff is all head-scratching stuff that it would drive a coach nuts when you're trying to run a disciplined program. But from what I gather, this thing is in a lot better place than what was being presented in the media.
What? What is your reaction to that revelation from Peter Schrager?
Well, yeah. I could show you the text exchange I had with Jesse and Tausch about this, but then if you put it on YouTube, I think we'd get censored. First of all, Peter, you're in the media. Second of all, we all talk to people. And maybe things are in a better place now. But I can tell you that 6 weeks ago, they weren't. And I can tell you that Matt LaFleur all along has been someone who has believed that Jair Alexander can still play and play at a high level. And when reminded that that's an issue of when he plays, Matt LaFleur acknowledged that that's part of the equation and part of the concern. But I can tell you that Matt LaFleur has kept in touch with Jair throughout the offseason because he didn't know which way this was going to go. And we still, quite frankly, don't. Remember when I said at the beginning of our conversation here that I don't dump on other people's reporting? That's what I was referring to. And I don't know how Rob Domofsky has heard that or not. I'm not a fan of doing that sort of thing. And to suggest that it has been somehow erroneously presented in the media, that bothers me.
Well, and also it's still very nebulous and vague. We're actually in a good place with Jair. I think it would lead a lot of people to believe that maybe they have worked out a contract situation, that he will be coming back. But it also could be that they have both come to the agreement that, hey, it's not going to work out here. We understand, you understand, and we're in a good place. It was just way too vague, like most of the other information that has been out there.
Well, I'm glad that Peter let us know that he had dinner with Matt LaFleur.
Chew, you got anything else for Jason this morning?
Well, Jason, like, LaFleur had to know that would come out. I mean, just what if he said the opposite?
To do a callback to earlier in the conversation, you don't know when we're on the record or off the record.
Correct.
When you preface something by saying, I don't think he would mind if I say this. So was the dinner on the record or off the record?
Yeah.
Like I can tell you that Matt LaFleur and I have, I wouldn't say regular conversations, but we have conversations intermittently. I automatically put them all off the record and I don't attach. If I say something based on that, I don't say, oh, Matt LaFleur and I were talking at the kids' soccer game the other day. And I don't put his name on it. Like, this is one of the things that and let me give people a quick peek behind the curtain. Okay. And I don't know how Rob is a phenomenal reporter. He is way better at it than me. Okay. But when I talk about stuff on our show or your show or any of our shows, if I don't know something or if I don't even have a feel for something, what do I say? I say, I don't know. I've done it like four times in the last 15 minutes. At the same time, when I present things, those are not brought up blindly without having conversations with people to get an idea of where things are. Because what I don't want to do for our fans is mislead them with wrong information. Mm-hmm. And so when I talk about the fact that, you know, I don't think Elgton Jenkins is happy with his contract situation and he would like some security, there's some information behind that. I'm not telling you who it's from or how I got it or anything like that. So there's a way to do that and inform your fans without necessarily it being a humble brag. And so In this case, I don't know today where things stand with Jair. I can't say for certain that he's going to be back on this team. I can't say for certain that they're definitely going to release him. If you remember 6-8 weeks ago when we started this saga, I was never saying he is definitely gone because I can't say that for certain. And because I knew there were people in the building that still wanted him on the team. You know who I don't know what he wants? Because he doesn't return my text messages as frequently as other people.
Chair.
Brian Gutekunst.
Oh.
Right? Like, and Jair, yeah. I didn't, you know, I never got the chance to pass all of the requisite tests that he requires before giving out his phone number. So I cannot get a hold of him. So I have not, I can guarantee you, I have not corresponded with Jair. So again, I don't know how this is going to end, but as I have been saying for weeks, I have a great relationship with him. and I enjoy covering him, and I think he's a damn good football player when he's on the field. I understand the team's concerns about his availability, but if they can create a contract that he is willing to accept that guarantees him earning back every penny that he would lose in a pay cut simply by suiting up every week. So if they took, this is the example I used yesterday, if they take his $16.1 million base salary, cut it in half, they guarantee $8.05 million of his base salary and take the other $8.05 and divide it by 17, and he gets a roster bonus for being active for each game he's active. And that way he has the ability to get paid the exact same amount that he was paid, he was scheduled to be paid this year. If he's willing to accept that, then great. Then everyone should be happy. He should be on the field. And it, barring a major injury, he should be able to, because I understand people have reservations about him not playing through injuries. I don't know if that's fair or not, but that's the perception. So if they're able to work out a contract that he's willing to take that guarantees him half of his salary and gives him the opportunity to earn back the other half, great. That seems to work for everyone. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but I can tell you this. I am exhausted by this story, and I am irritated by people that would say that kind of stuff about other people trying to do their jobs.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us, giving us the insight. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, I think you've kind of ruined my day already. I just want you guys to know that, because I was in a great mood. The dogs and I are sitting here giving them pats. They're so happy. And now I'm pissed.
Did we ruin the
lot,
day?
You jerk.
That's Gabe's fault.
Peter Schrager ruined
the
day.
How is this my fault?
Because
it's all Gabe's fault.
So Peter Schrager's just a fault. He's a
suck-tone. Stop.
All he, yeah.
All right, you need to.
Why? I can
Will,
say that.
You have to shut off his mic. You just have to shut it off when he starts to say.
I got your back, Jason.
Yeah, thanks, Chu. Appreciate you. All right, guys, take care. Be good.
All right, Jason Wilde can be heard on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We got to take a break. We have to get to Craig Karmazin. He is coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Tune in to Behind the Bucks on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. It's presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Behind the Bucks dives deep into Bucks in Six, a culture unknowingly created by former Bucks star Brandon Jennings. Take a look inside Brandon Jennings' story, the origin of Bucks in Six, how it became the rallying cry, and what it truly means to Jennings and the Bucks fans alike. Find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcast. It is presented by Gallagher.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues next on 94.5 ESPN. It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Council in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
Good morning, Craig. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Jen, Gabe, and Liquid AI.
Liquid AI. Love it.
Are you
Is
giving
it appropriate?
Him, you better not be giving him any clues about Week in Rechu a little bit later today.
Like, he's going to remember anyway.
Yeah. Liquid AI. I am Liquid AI. Just.
You're Liquid BS.
What's Craig, you're just big time. Right? Do you have a nickname?
Yeah.
What's your nickname?
I don't think so.
Salt and pepper?
Carmy.
Nah, I don't like that. It's too soft for you.
Huh? What do you mean it's too soft? Like, it's
like
pretty.
Like, I'm a little harder?
It sounds like Charmin. It's like Charmin. Carmy. I don't know. That's the first place my mind went.
Yeah, and you always notoriously tell us how tough Craig is, Chew.
He'll play through injuries on, like, Jair. I mean, you don't have to redo his contract, right, Craig?
Exactly.
What do you Craig, feel- let me ask you a question.
Okay. Hey, I prayed through. I'm awake Craig, with you right now. I was I was filming till after 1 in the morning last night, and I'm here with you guys this
filming?
Morning.
Wait, what? What were you filming?
Oh, great. Am I going to get aggregated again if I do this?
I mean, probably. But you're the one who also brought up, like, we had no idea you were filming anything.
I mean,
so you got no one to blame yourself.
How I just went to Sherman, and my mind just went to a place at 1 a.m. You're filming something, so please tell us what you were filming at 1 a.m. in the morning.
So, I think we may have discussed the movie that's, we discussed that Kevin Spacey was in town.
Yes.
And right, so Peter last Schrager. Night... Last night was the last night of filming, and so we were at Uncle Wolfie's on Broadway. We were extras. Harper and I were there for the last night of filming of the movie last night.
How cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of it's not cool, but some of it's cool.
Did you meet there was Kevin like Spacey?
See, I knew that conversation didn't happen on the radio as soon as he said it. Or maybe Chewy wasn't here.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I brought him to a Bucks game a few weeks ago. We went to the Bucks Pelicans game. Mm-hmm. And Frances Fisher, I'm sure you're all familiar. I feel like she was the mom in Titanic because she was in a lot of other movies. She was the co-star, and they were both in the last scene, which occurred at the diner that was filmed last night. So it was cool.
Nice.
Did it end like The Sopranos at the diner?
Kind of. Like, I mean, I could recite the line. But
of course you could. How many times do you think you heard it? How many times do you think you saw that final scene?
So it was less than a minute, you know, the final scene that they were filming. And we were there from 8 o'clock until 12:45 in the morning to do the one less than a minute.
Did they dress you up? Did they have to put you in costume or...
No. We were extras, so we had the pantomime conversation in the background.
Yeah.
A few people, they had to like warn them that they were whispering when they were trying the pantomime conversation, and it was showing up. It's so crazy how technical everything is, and like these camera. I mean, the lens on the camera was like over $100,000. Like, it's pretty cool to be around. They did a real movie in Milwaukee. It was cool.
Don't use words like that because our listeners, like myself, have no idea what that means. So don't be so. You can be fancy on Wilde and Tausch, but am I right, guys?
Camera?
Real movie in Milwaukee?
Pantomime. Really?
Yeah.
You guys. Oh, I'm sorry. You're so bougie.
You're the one who went to Boston College.
And didn't do real well.
Again, every time we use the phrase "went to," it's like we should throw up the air quotes.
Is this
Correct.
The first? Is this the first time you've been
by
an extra
way,
in a movie?
Jen, yeah, it definitely was. By the way, somehow when Jen said like "went to," it made it seem like he was like almost next to Boston College. Like he wasn't actually in a class. Like somehow
he was.
Like you were aside.
He was
the
Boston,
school
College
of Boston College
adjacent.
Like when Rudy was pretending to go to Notre Dame before he got into Notre Dame.
Well, St. Mary's. We didn't have a St. Mary's. I mean, I could have went to West Point, played football. I don't know if I would have. Well, we move on. Craig, what did Giannis's emojis mean at the beginning of the week?
I don't know. I'm not in the emoji game. I mean, I think I would guess that with what Giannis puts into everything, that what Giannis is doing is processing this year and processing like all the emotions of a season where he was a first team NBA player, where he was is going to be third in MVP again, where he put up numbers that have never happened in the history of the NBA, and where he's, you know, appreciative of everything that went on in the season, but also, like, it's over and it's sad. So I don't think he's, you know, I have no idea that he's anywhere to be thinking about all the things everyone wants to know the answers on.
When do you think we will have, I mean, because I think most Bucks fans are already sick of it and know we're in for a long summer. If you had to, you know, do the baby pool and guess when there's going to be a resolution, whether he's staying, whether he's leaving, when do you think that happens?
I mean, so, you know, in my mind, it's not about if he's staying or leaving, because I'm just, in my mind, he's staying, like, because that's just, like, where I am. But I think the next
big moment is going to be the draft lottery. Because if you think about it, there are teams in the draft lottery that are stacked already. Like, which teams like who shouldn't be in the draft lottery. It's like when, you know, when somehow like the Celtics or, you know, get already are good and get Larry Bird, or just like, you know, we've seen this at different times in NBA history where, you know, where it's possible to do that. And I think this is one of those years, right? Like if San Antonio gets Cooper Flagg and they already have Wemby, right? Or if, you know, the 76ers get healthy and have him, yeah, right? They can, if the Sixers are in the top six, they keep their pick. So I think what'll be interesting, you know, the Rockets are a great example, right? The Rockets, you know, have actually two opportunities in the lottery. Or no, I guess they have one. The two are for the Spurs. The Spurs have two chances in the lottery. So if one of these teams gets a top two, even a top one pick, I think that is going to amp up conversation in a huge, huge way. And the higher picks that the teams who are in these conversations or and not even the conversations in the media, not with NBA teams, but I think that is going to amp things up. So if you don't like the conversations now, they're going to get crazier if some of these good teams do well in the lottery.
Well, the lottery is May 12th. Lottery's on Monday. So
exactly.
Good on you, Craig, for the tease to Monday. Let me ask you this. What have you made of the NBA playoffs so far? What do you think of Indiana leading the Cavs 2-0? What do you think of the Knicks leading the Celtics 2-0? How do you think those series shake out?
Well, and the other series are 1-1 that we never would have thought could have been 1-1. Like, think about Golden State. They have less than 48 hours of rest going into the second round and end up playing the game, you know, without Steph Curry for half the game, and they're tied at 1 in their series. And, you know, OKC has been as dominant a team in the history of the NBA when you look at their net rating. And they're, you know, have lost home court advantage. And the second round of the playoffs have been incredible. You know, I'm going to the Knicks game for game 4 against the Celtics. But game 3 is the most expensive playoff game, I believe, in the history of Madison Square Garden. And, you know, they had a NBA Finals in 1999. So the second round of the playoffs has been incredible. I got flashbacks watching the Pacers come back at the end of game 2, which I didn't need. But, you know, give the Pacers credit. I mean, they deserve to be up 2-0 right now.
Are they better than we thought?
It might be better than you thought. I mean, the thing that's amazing about the Pacers is you have a guy like Andrew Nembhard, who is a 26% three-point shooter in the regular season, who now two postseasons in a row is a 50% three-point shooter. Like, that's the stuff that's the outlier. But, I mean, the Pacers are really good. You know, they started the year not playing very well, and then they went 34-12 to finish the year. Like, and the fact that the Bucks, you know, without Dame, were right there with them, like, I don't think people gave the Bucks credit, but I understand when you lose in 5, you're not going to get credit. But I think the Bucks were closer in that series than people give them credit for, and I think, as we're seeing, the Pacers are a better team than people give them credit for.
All right, Craig, enjoy your weekend. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, Liquid AI.
I love it.
Is that going
to
stick?
All right, big time.
I mean, it's going to stick for Craig, at least for this week. We'll see if he calls him Liquid AI again next week.
Going to keep trying?
I mean, I'm not going to call him Liquid AI.
I don't want you to.
I'm not going to call him Liquid AI. I just wondered if Craig was going to try to get that to stick. T-Bone. Potawatomi Casino Hotel Milwaukee is known for its endless ways to win. And Friday, June 27th, they're showing why that's the standard with the highly anticipated season finale blockbuster drawings. Watch your entries from Enchanted Spins, Unreal Treasures, and Boundless Bounty roll into drawings where $300,000 in cash and prizes is up for grabs. Be there to share. Get your win on June 27th. It is only at Potawatomi. More information is available online. You must be 21 years old to play.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
Chew, I think there's one thing that you and I really have in common that the other two people who are typically on this show struggle with a little bit.
Yeah.
When you and I are not on the show, like yesterday, I had my 100 holes of golf, and I mean, it would have been tough for me to listen to the show anyway. I guess, suppose I could have pulled it up on the speaker I had in my in the golf cart that I was driving around the bog all day. But it seems like whenever Jen and Joshy are gone, they have a hard time unplugging. Just a real tough time unplugging. Because we're getting, we are getting bombarded right now from texts from Josh DiMaggio.
Because he's a PIA, and he just he sent the picture to distract us.
We don't need to get into that picture.
The Holmgren effect is not, because I can't get it out of my head.
Although, I mean, that is good revenge from Joshy for all the times that you send in the group text the picture of the blammer in his underwear.
That's not a bad, I don't understand why that is such a bad picture.
Yes, you
other do. Than his body. I mean, other than his body.
Other than the subject of the picture. Yeah, you know, you know exactly what you're doing. Don't try to play dumb now.
Did we have the discussion yesterday? I want to put that as part of a flag mean that it's okay to come over.
Again, I did not listen to the show yesterday, Chew. I was off.
Yeah.
Like you, I feel like we unplug and Josh is like Josh has the day off. Shouldn't he be off, like, you know, walking his dog, enjoying life? Is this because he doesn't trust Will to like, run the show without him here?
He's going out of town, too. It's not like he's just taking a random day off to do something else. Like, this is his time to unwind and relax, but he just can't unplug. You're right.
No, he's an agitator. It's not that he's just an agitator. That's his personality.
So you're telling me it's tough for him to move on unless he's, like, kind of poking at you? Because it's really you he goes after more than anybody else.
Yeah.
Like, you're the one who he agitates.
I can look. There is no one more excited that I'm coming back than Joshy. No one.
I don't know. Will, are you excited that Chewy's going to be back?
No, Will's going to sugar his pants.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of the clips yesterday, and I'm not going to lie, I've been thinking about, I thought he was going to be here today, and I was thinking about it last night, like, how am I going to approach this?
What did you lip off to me? You lipped off about something, Gabe. What was it?
I can't remember, but he did. He lipped off the last time Will was here.
It was a we can reach you for you to get all five of them right. And I was like the deciding vote, and I decided that you didn't get it right.
Did you get a haircut?
Yeah, I think probably since the last time.
Put yourself on screen. I got to take a look.
What are you judging haircuts for?
That's better. Much better.
Better? Yeah. More clean?
Yeah, your mother's probably very happy. Mother's Day, that's a good Mother's Day gift for your mom.
Yeah.
Clean cut. You know, you could dress a little better, but, you know.
We'll work on it.
Whoa. He's just wearing a hoodie.
I'm the best dressed guy on the flipping show.
Excuse me?
Down. Do you shower before you go on the show?
Yes. I took
a
shower
this morning.
No, that's part of my morning routine. I wake up, I take a shower, I take the dog out, make the coffee.
Will, did you shower?
Of course. I do it every morning as well.
I don't believe you guys. I don't.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. We've got plenty of things to get to in hour number two of the show. We're going to go back and revisit the sound from yesterday from Peter Schrager. Also, the Pulp is from Chicago. And while the Cubs made a blunder, we get to make fun of them for that. All coming up next in 2 minutes. Jen Gabe and Chewy.